So if I were to ask you, in your journey, which is more interesting and which was more satisfying as a student, as in medical school takes forever, but you learn a lot of things, or is it practicing as a psychiatrist, or your service to the community as a chairman of Aman Alzheimer's Society?
Interesting question. I would say each portion or each stage of life has its ups and downs. Obviously, when I was a student, I was younger. I was more, looking forward to experiencing things. I think my period when I was a postgraduate student at the UK was very interesting because I had to live in a new country, experience dealing with people from outside my comfort zone. It was challenging because I was bringing up young kids at the same time trying to study, pass my exams, gain the experience and come back. And so different stresses at different stages. And now I think I'm more calmer. I tend to appreciate the small things in life. Obviously working with people has more than one benefit. It's kind of giving back to the community. Obviously the country have spent on me all those years, free education and scholarship. And it's time to give back and also learning through. So every day is a learning process. In medicine, learning doesn't stop.
And as your service to the community in being the chairperson of Oman Alzheimer's Society,
yes,
is directly knowing what is needed in the community, isn't it?
Yes, and I think what helps is that having good communication channels with the caregiver, because they are the ones that we are serving, and it's important to tailor our service to their needs and the need of the people who have the condition.
So shall we now go to the life story,
yes,
that we've chosen today? It's about a 32-year-old man who comes to the clinic with poor sleep, lack of concentration, and feeling unable to cope. He's married and has three young children. He works full-time at a company while doing PhD in the evening. He spends most of the time studying after work, as well as during the weekend. He was shocked when he was told that he performed poorly during his PhD defense. His wife is now asking for divorce because she feels he's unavailable for the family.
Yes, so this particular case is a good example about when life-work balance goes extremely out of hand. This is an ambitious young man who wanted to develop a career for himself. He enjoyed what he's doing and he wanted to progress. He was, in a sense, lucky because his PhD is local, so he doesn't have to relocate and get his kids to go into a school into a foreign country. But at the same time, the deal with his company that he can do his PhD, but on his own time, which meant that after finishing work at 3-4, he has to rush to college, attend classes, and then during the weekend, prepare for his exams and for the PhD defense. Obviously, the symptoms he described were suggestive of depression. And when we talked more, we discovered that he was actually overstudying. Mm-hmm. His lifestyle is that he would leave work, goes to college, and then sit and study till late at night. So he had very little quality time with his children. The fact that even during the weekend, he would be, for example, dropping his daughter for, swimming lessons, and then he would rush to the library and sit and study. Sometimes he would do straight 8 hours on a weekend, again, which means that he's totally deprived from any social fun, not being available for it. So the wife has to step in and becomes the house manager,
yeah,
becomes a father, so she does the shopping, fixing little things at the house. And then eventually she found that overwhelming. The shock that he didn't pass, simply because he was not coping well, he was just dragging himself to do all of this. And the lesson learned from this is time management is a key issue. And this is not just a cliche that we tell people. In fact, when he starts managing his time, he could see more progress in terms of concentration, in terms of allowing his body to rest. This extra studying, people, he wasn't aware of the term overstudying because he felt, well, it should be a good thing that I'm overstudying. In fact, if you don't have regular breaks, your brain is not able to function properly. You pretend to be studying when your brain is actually not absorbing the information.
Anything.
So regular breaks was essential. So we had to talk about regular breaks. We had to talk about quality time with the family. We had to talk about having spending some time in the fresh air. So exercise for himself. So again, balancing his own. Another issue is that because of time constraint, he started to eat fast food because that's quicker. He will grab anything on the go, high calories, that makes him full, but at the same time, puts
not
him on
getting any nutrition.
Exactly. So he will starting to put on weight.
Uh-huh. So that became another health issue.
Yes.
But also having lack of sleep.
Yes.
The lack of sleep also affects your understanding of things and memory also, right?
Yes, exactly. So it affects your memory because during your sleep, your brain filters and stores what we call from short-term memory to long-term memory. So this is why it's very important when you're studying, for example, that you have enough sleep. Because during sleep, your brain stores what you have learned when you are awake. The other thing is that when you don't sleep well, the following morning you wake up drowsy, you don't not refreshed, and then when you think you are studying, your brain is not actually absorbing the information.
So what did you suggest to him?
Obviously, lifestyle changes was very important. Now, the first threat is that this wife wanting to end the marriage, which to me didn't seem logical because how is that helping anybody? So she might have her own reasons, but she wasn't there during the session to discuss that. So it was like an ultimatum. So probably that was a wake-up call for him. He needs to do something. The other thing that we talked about, how is he coping with this shock that despite all the effort he made, that he's not achieving his goal.
Mm.
So what can help him perform better during in his study? So how about asking detailed feedback from his supervisor? What are the areas that he failed so he can focus on? The other thing is that we have to knock down his program and restart all over again. So we will have to have regular breaks in between and also look at his studying method. Simply because he did well as an undergraduate student doesn't guarantee him doing well as a postgraduate because study methods
changed.
Are different.
Yeah.
So is he using the right methods? Would he benefit from the group study, for example? Is there a way to negotiate with his manager to get, like shorter or part-time work? Would it help, for example, if he start working from home so he will be saving time from commuting? So it's things, more practical issues. What about dealing with his response to this perceived failure? So he's always been an A student. Now this time when he is shocked that he's not.
That also
getting,
would have impacted
exactly,
his confidence.
Yes.
So again, this is an issue where we wish the couple had come together for
exactly,
a counseling.
Yes. So and not just that, but obviously there might be other details that he decide because at the end of the day, we only see what they want us to see.
Correct.
The other thing is that a common question that I keep asking, why do you keep it till it's so long? Why does it, this problem has been on for like a year. Why spend a year instead of coming to therapy? And most people would say that I was hoping this would go by itself. I thought it was temporary. So things like denial is a big issue, big barrier for people seeking help.
But actually needs changes in life.
Exactly. The other thing is that lack of awareness. Sometimes they think, well, I think this is normal. I think it's something that I could sort out myself. So when do you realize that this is beyond your capability and this is the time where I could seek help? Some people might have misconception about therapy, like somebody will be just listening to me and doodle in a book, which we don't do that at all. Some people are worried that they might be judged by saying, you know, why did you do this? Why did you do that? Some people might be associating seeking help to feeling weak. They think that people will say, oh, you're a weak person. You should have done one, two, three. And in fact, that's not true. Everybody has their own. People have their own abilities. They deal with the difficulties of their own ways. Some of them might work. Some of them exhaust their energy, times, and effort. So the idea is that we work with the person. How can we help you fix this? Not how can we fix it for you?
Okay, right. So you want the solutions to come from
exactly.
him.
Exactly. So it has to be something that he's able to commit to, something that he acknowledges. Because once he leaves the session, if he's not convinced about what we're talking about, there's no way to, you know, make that action plan sanctionable.
How often does stress actually become part of the mental health issue?
Yes. In fact, stress is one of the most common triggers, we call it. So the scientific explanation that people are born with certain vulnerability to develop certain life difficulties. So whereas, for example, if you are facing a situation and then you get the right support, that might help you from progressing. So it's about the balance. So if you have a stressful situation that you are unable to cope with and it continues to be around, then that will tend to cause stress, probably burnout. And sometimes it can get to the point of developing a mental health problem. Sometimes your coping strategy, for example, as we explained in the previous episode, that sometimes people tend to drink, mm-hmm. use drug as an escape, or thinking that this would help them heal. It's like what we call self-medication.
Yeah.
In fact, it doesn't. It creates another problem.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you call it as, you said?
Self-medication.
Self-medication. Okay, they prescribed it themselves.
Yeah. Yes, but not necessarily like prescribed tablets or medication. Yes. But, you know.
As an outlet.
Yes.
Now, how do we promote work-life balance, according to you?
Yes, interesting question. I just had a workshop today with one of the companies, and I think it's a good initiative that they are starting the conversation. So we're seeing lots of companies now opening the discussion about the importance of mental health at work. They acknowledge that it has a direct impact on production, on the number of sick leave people take because of mental health problems, lack of ability to achieve goals, lack of productivity and engagement are all linked with mental health problems. Might start with the stress and then gradually develop. Some companies have awareness camp programs, so a dedicated program to inform the workers about different mental health problems. Some companies will sign up a contract with a mental health center, so the staff will be encouraged to seek help in a professional way, so they could get, for example, discounted service. The company will pay for the consultation fee, so the person does not have to worry about that. Other companies will have what we call a mental health champion program. Mm-hmm. So a person within the organization will be trained, basic training to, you know, to develop particular skills. How do you talk to somebody who is distressed? Especially in some situation, like if we talk about people working in certain companies where there is a risk of meeting with an accident or witnessing a death of your colleague, whereas people will develop something called post-traumatic stress disorder. Mm-hmm. Now understanding how do you debrief the person, what are the things that you could provide for the person during that period. Not everybody will need mental health support, but if you do that properly, you let them go through the process of healing, that will improve their ability to continue working like before.
On that note, Dr. Hamed Elsenawi, thank you so much for joining us. And that's a lot to think about for each organization to support their team. So looking forward to our next episode. And this is season 4, Green Mint, with Dr. Hamed Elsenawi. I'm Lakshmi Karthana. Thank you, Doctor, for being with us.
Thank you, Lakshmi.
Thank you. I'm Lakshmi with Nasrul Harasi and Ali Joish.